You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with a broad survey of the state of this economy here at the start of our fifth month of quarantine. And we do so with an observation about where things stand. It comes to us, that observation does, from Rafael Bostic, the president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank and a guest on this program a couple of times, talking to the Tennessee Business Roundtable earlier this week.
People are getting nervous again. Business leaders are getting worried. Consumers are getting worried. And there's a real sense that this might go on longer than we had hoped and we had expected or we had planned for.
Believe me when I tell you that that is central banker speak for things are not good. And things are not good across big and important parts of this economy. Retail is line item one today. Brooks Brothers is in bankruptcy. We told you that yesterday. The parent company of Ann Taylor and Lane Bryant is said to be on the way there. Levi's is going to cut 700 jobs. Bed Bath & Beyond says it's closing 200 stores. And I get it. You're saying, but wait, we were so close back at the beginning of June to turning the coronavirus corner and getting the economy back. What happened? Oh, come on. We know what happened, right? And that has created, in retail, for our first example, kind of a tipping point. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
America, quite simply, does not have this pandemic under control. And that's starting to sink in for retailers. Mark A. Cohen is director of retail studies at Columbia Business School.
Until there's a vaccine and or effective palliative drugs, unless this mutates into something less infectious, we're in for a terribly bumpy ride.
Especially in retail. When people don't have jobs, they're less likely to spend money. And with virus cases growing, they also feel less safe going out shopping. So since it looks like this is the new normal, Cohen says retailers have to start making changes for the long term.
If they're doing business on the internet, as many are, they're going to have to get more effective and efficient.
They'll have to figure out what customers want to buy now in this weird new world. If not back to school clothes or office wear, then what?
They're also going to have to reconcile themselves to the fact that the economic damage that this pandemic has brought with it and will continue to bring with it is going to necessarily cause their performance to change.
They're just not going to do as well as they would have otherwise. So they'll also have to shrink to make cuts just to survive. Joel Bynes is a managing director at Alex Partners.
If you think about the costs that retailers have, merchandise is first, people is second, and rent is third. And so the first thing that they're going to do related to merchandise is buy less, which will have an impact on the global supply chain.
On the people front, they'll cut jobs. We've seen that already.
And then the next thing they're going to do with rent is reduce.
In other words, close stores and potentially file for bankruptcy. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Nobody is talking bankruptcy for airlines quite yet. We should be clear about that. But the news for commercial aviation is also deeply not good. As we told you yesterday, United Airlines warned 36,000 workers, that's almost half its employees in the United States, that they could be furloughed come October. And as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, United's likely just the first in a string of airlines warning things could get worse before they get better.
Now, there's some practicality here with United's furlough warning. October is more than 60 days from now, and according to the CARES Act, which gave airlines some relief, that's the minimum amount of time carriers have to give employees if they're cutting jobs. Gary Leff runs the website View from the Wing.
It's not actually likely that they're going to lay off as many people as they've given this notice to, but if they found themselves later needing to let go of more employees, they would be behind the curve by a couple months and they'd be incurring additional costs.
And he says for company morale, overestimating the initial number of layoffs is better than having to go through with a second round if the first one didn't cut it. But airline consultant Michael Boyd says it's not all bad news for the airlines. Despite an uptick in COVID-19 cases in Texas and Florida and travel restrictions at major airports, demand is actually better than it's been in a while.
You're seeing American Airlines adding back in routes. The low-cost, super low-cost carriers, discretionary carriers, they're adding a lot of service back in because they got a lot of demand.
Boyd thinks by December, air travel could be up to 85% what it was last year. But he says that'll happen if the spread of the pandemic slows down and if other parts of the economy open back up. Big ifs.
We can see the cliff's edge coming up.
That's Robert Mann. He's an airline industry analyst. He says, absent a rapid, significant, and sustained increase in demand, the post-summer capacity cutbacks and the subsequent job cuts will be historic.
It's really just like watching, you know, Thelma and Louise approach the cliff's edge and what follows. So the question is, why does anyone need to see the rest of the movie if you've seen that clip? You know where it's going.
Air travel in the U.S. plunged about 95% from March 1st until mid-April. The number of U.S. air travelers around July 4th was the highest since mid-March, but was still down about 70% from a year ago. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We got an update this morning on one of the markers we've been using to keep an eye on the health of the labor market and, by extension, really the whole economy. First-time claims for unemployment, they fell just a bit but are still blisteringly high. More than 1.3 million people asked for unemployment insurance help in the past week. Here, though, is kind of a bigger picture on that. Also from the Labor Department, this number, it's through the 20th of June, so just as the economy was reacting to the virus spiking again. It's all the people in this economy on some kind of unemployment assistance. Here you go. It's 32.9 million people on some kind of joblessness aid. You do the math, that's about one out of every five workers that we've got. That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.